Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Insurance to suit your needs. Protect your home, car or van with Zurich.
All shops can reopen this Monday, apart from those in shopping centres, which can reopen a week later. We'll be able to travel anywhere within our county from Monday or 20 kilometres from our homes, whichever is further. Playgrounds can open their gates from Monday once they're supervised. How significant are these changes and the others that are going to follow in the weeks ahead? Professor Sam McConkie is an infectious diseases specialist at the Royal College of Surgeons. Good evening. Is this as good a day as we dare to hope that it is, that we can begin to live a little again?
Yeah. I'm almost crying for joy. I'm delighted. I think we're really in a new, better turned around phase here. We're not completely out of this, but we as a nation, 5 million, have done a great thing of controlling this. And as we look around the world, not every country has, and some are kind of falling to pieces in various ways. But we have controlled the spread of this thing, and now it's time to try and recreate our lives in good ways that help to us have a good life again. So I'm really, really happy. I think we're in a great place.
That is fantastic. And we've been told that this reproduction rate is between 0.4, I think, and 0.7. We've been given the numbers who've been tested positive for COVID in the last week or so. Is there other information that the CMO and the Taoiseach would have to hand that perhaps we're not in receipt of at the moment that gives them the confidence to forge ahead in this way?
I think the criteria that WHO and the European Centre for Disease Control have set out before relaxing things are as follows. One, to have testing widespread available, and we've heard we can do 15,000 a day, even though we might not need that capacity, and that's clearly there. So rapid access to testing is now available throughout the country in, I think, 40 or 47 centres. Secondly, then scaled up contact tracing, so we can get same-day contact tracing and rapid handle. And we're now getting measures of how effective is that contact tracing? What proportion of the, you know, people in the meat industry who are contacts have been able to be traced and found? And we're now getting quality metrics on that. And, you know, sometimes the question is it 70, is it 90%? But at least we're measuring it and we're performance quality assuring that contact tracing process. So that's a real step forward. Thirdly, then, is that the outbreaks are under control. We've always had lots of outbreaks in nursing homes and hospitals and in the meat industry and in other domestic houses. But those outbreaks, we now know where they are, and they're now really intense focus on really stopping transmission in those areas. And, you know, I think some industries have escaped this, maybe with good planning, and others have really struggled more than others. But I think those outbreaks are being controlled. And unfortunately, then, few unexplained cases. So in Ireland now, even though we're seeing 20, 30 cases a day, those are not just cases popping up in residential areas that are unexplained. They're generally, the vast majority, as I understand now, linked to known outbreaks, or otherwise they're contacts of people or first-degree or secondary contacts of people who are known to have COVID-19 already and were already in a chain of known transmission, and therefore were almost expected, if you like, to potentially get it, and were already self-isolating. And that's not so dangerous for all of us if somebody who's already an isolated contact has got it. So I think those are the key things. I think we've got there, and that's fantastic.
Now, what does that mean, we've got there? Is the epidemic gone?
Well, I wouldn't say gone completely. What does gone mean? So for most outbreaks, Mary, once you've got double the maximum incubation time with no cases, then you can say it's controlled. That means in Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, we've heard there'll be no cases for a week. Once they get to 28 days, then we can really say, yes, Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim have really solved this for now. The reason 28 is because we know this virus can incubate up to 14 days. We've heard this up to, you know, 3 to 14 days incubation period. And then typically the general public health advice is to double that. So that makes 28 days. So once we've 28 days in a county like Sligo or Donegal with no cases, then that's a real marker of success. It's been controlled. The challenge then is a different one. It's to prevent its reintroduction. And of course, lots of us would like to go to Sligo and Donegal, and quite rightly so. But so that's where the challenge starts, is how to open up national travel, as we've heard, may start on the 29th of June, if there's you know, the next phase allows us to travel more widely potentially.
So we have this 3 week period between now and the 29th, when, as you say, we should have unlimited travel around the country. We should be able to go on our holidays again, all subject to keeping that R rate in the broad parameters within which it is at the moment.
The sort of messages that I heard in today are very, very clear from governments, really that we should all be wearing face masks on public transport. So we all need to get out our sewing machines, get out our cotton mask, get out our elastic, and make ourselves some masks, whatever sort of colours or emblems we want on them, and then wear them on public transport. So that message came out clear and loud. That when you're in an area like a bus or even a shop where there might be other people around, but very close, perhaps, you know, you sneezing on them, and that's not a social thing to do anymore, get a mask on. Second thing was that indoor parties are not a good idea. So going outdoors and having a walk, whatever, is all fine. And even playing sports, 15 people on a soccer pitch or whatever. I know we normally have 22 on a soccer pitch, and obviously more on a GA pitch and rugby pitch and hurling pitch. But so 15 people. So outdoors is fine. But I think what we're saying is we're not the relaxation of number indoors is only now 6. So I think we have to listen to that and keep less than 6. And again, even if it's older people who are cocooned, give them space. Give them distance and not be coughing on them and stuttering
on
them.
Is some of the messaging slightly confusing? Shopping centres can open from next week, from the week after next, from Monday, and yet churches have to wait another month to reopen. And yet churches are generally large, airy buildings where it should be possible to have the physical distancing that's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, you're right that I agree. Many of the buildings also are many churches are half empty on an average Sunday. So if you had a widely spaced out audience with 2 metres all around them, the issues are there that they're perhaps elderly. Many churches have older people in them, and also many churches people like to sing. And it does seem that there's something about singing. I like singing. I think I'm all in favour of singing. The problem is that there was some experience from churches in South Korea and other events, actually, that singing, especially sort of aggressive loud singing, may generate droplets and aerosols and lead to more transmission events. So I'm not sure about huge numbers of indoor congregational singing altogether. While we all may like that, that may not be the way to prevent COVID-19. Mm. So I think the worship has been introduced in Northern Ireland, but in a different way. They've gone for outdoors car worship, where you sort of do a drive-in worship. Now, I didn't know that drive-in worship existed in Ireland until I saw it in the Northern Ireland Get Back to Normal plan. But that's how they're finessing this risk and keeping us in our cars and listening to it.
I want to bring Mary Lou MacDonald into the discussion as well, but I was talking to a reporter in Japan yesterday, and they were talking about asymptomatic spread. And they have a culture of wearing face coverings or face masks anyway, but they had been wearing them from the middle of January, and they believe that they cut off that asymptomatic spread, and they've kept their numbers significantly down on even smaller countries like Ireland and so on. Well, we still have asymptomatic. Something like, is it 40%?
There's two different things. One is asymptomatic spread. There's also what's called pre-symptomatic spread, that the people in the day or two before they get sick can be shedding it. So at the time they're shedding it, they're still asymptomatic, but then in the next day or two they do get sick. So the pre-symptomatic spread does appear to be in around that 40%. And then truly completely asymptomatic people who never get any symptoms maybe are contributing about 10% to the transmission. There was a group in Oxford led by Ferrati, published that in Science about 6 or 8 weeks ago, and that helped us a lot to understand that maybe face masks are a good idea.
Mm. Mary Lou MacDonald, thank you for joining us as well. Do you share Sam McConkie's optimism today after what we've heard?
Well, I think undoubtedly this is good news for all of us. I think this will have come as a relief for people, because there is certainly now a very strong desire to get back into routine, for people to get back to work, and for some form of normality to resume. And I think people saw clarity. There was an awful lot of, the guessing game is the worst thing of all when people are speculating as to what might or might not happen. So I think to that extent, that is, of course, good news. Of course, there is still a level of anxiety and caution across the community, because we know how deadly this virus can be. We know that people have been bereaved. We know that people have been very sick. And I hope there is still an awareness that we still have a job of work to do as a society to keep ahead of the virus to the best of our ability, to live with the virus to the best of our ability, and still to have an eye on keeping the curve very flattened and not jeopardising our services. But yes, of course, good news for tourism, for hospitality, for key sectors of the economy and for society at a large.
It has, you know, as you say, it has taken a huge toll on people. The Taoiseach was talking today as well about personal responsibility now as we move forward. The shutters coming up on a lot of the shops and businesses from next Monday. Are we ready?
Well, that, Mary, is a very good question. On the issue of personal responsibility, it's been repeated ad nauseum to us, you know, physical distancing, washing your hands, not sneezing on people, you know, using your elbow and all of that. So we know what we have to do. House parties are a no-no to anybody who is planning any such festivities. I wonder, given that we now have an accelerated opening up of the economy and people now need to get back to work, I know for sure that we are not ready in respect of our childcare services. That worries me. It worries me for workers in that sector, for parents who will be anxious to get back to work, for service providers and for the children themselves. We're a week on, Mary, since the announcement of guidelines and these pods, this method that will be used for young children. But we still today, I was speaking to people in the sector, to providers, and they still don't have clarity on some of the most basic items that they need, things they need to know to make preparation
to get ready. It's still the 29th of June for the reopening. What about... just a question on the leaving cert. As we look today at the acceleration of the lifting of the lockdown, Mary Lou, was the government right to make the changes to the leaving cert that it made now some weeks ago? Because if this move continues, they could have been sitting an exam potentially by the end of June.
Well, actually, that remark, that was said to me earlier on, Mary, funny enough, and we could speculate forever on that point. The fact is that at a given point in time, students, parents, teachers needed clarity. I mean, a decision had to be made in very difficult circumstances. And there is a school of thought that the exams should have gone ahead in any event. I think the public health advice at the time was that would be risky, an excessive risk, and the call was made. And there are no perfect answers very often in scenarios like this, but there comes points where decisions have to be made, calls have to be made, and that's what happened in the case of the leaving cert. Of course, it would have been better for our young people to be sitting the exam. Of course, that was the best possible outcome. But that decision is made now, and I don't think there's anything to be gained by revisiting it. I'm more concerned at this stage, Mary, in terms of children returning to school, to primary and secondary school. I'm still very unclear how that's going to unfold, what's that going to look like. I know families, particularly with children, young adults with additional needs, special needs, intellectual disabilities, have been through an incredibly difficult and testing time. We need to know concretely when services resume for them.
And as I said earlier on,
more generally, the whole area of childcare, I mean, I can't emphasise this enough, there's going to be a much broader reopening of services and jobs come Monday, and that's a good thing. Once we're all smart and safe about how we go about our work. But, I mean, if you are relying on childcare services to get back to work any time soon, I'm afraid that basic work hasn't been done, and that's a source of great concern and stress for many parents.
I want to talk to you as well, Mary Lou MacDonald, about the pandemic unemployment payment and so on. But before I do, to go back to you, Sam, and you know, I don't want to rain on the success of what's happened, and everyone is enthusiastic today about the lifting. But it's very hard to go back again. And so there is a need, isn't there, for extreme caution as we move forward? It's because if we have to roll back, it's very hard to do that again. It's very hard to pull the shutters down again.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to say, Mary. I'm almost guaranteed that this will come back again. It's not even an if, but in my view, it's a when. And it will probably happen multiple times So this, I hope not as a wave and not as a tsunami, but I hope as a ripple. So there will be a little outbreak somewhere. I hope we catch it quick. I hope it's tested quick. I hope the contact tracing works and the outbreak is controlled. But unfortunately, the numbers are inevitable, almost going to rise in some part of our country. And, you know, I hope we don't end up at phase zero again. Of course, I hope we don't end up at phase one. But almost inevitably, I think this isn't going to be a quick fix, that this is just gone forever and the shadow's lifted and we never see it again.
And that is worrying, Mary Lou MacDonald. We learned today the pandemic unemployment payment is going to be cut next month from for a quarter of all recipients, those who were getting less than €200 a week in part-time work, currently getting €350. They're only going to get €203. But was that inevitable, that this had to be tweaked?
Well, look, I think and I hope the inevitable thing is that we have to get people back to work. I, Mary, certainly don't want to see anybody reliant on a welfare payment, and I think most people are chomping at the bit to get back to work. So, of course, nobody suggested or would suggest that this is forever. The last thing we want is for this to be forever. But what we have said, and our view is this: for so long as the crisis is with us and for so long as key sections of the economy are still closed, well, then the state has to be prepared to honour the emergency payments to workers and to their families. And just to make one point and just to give you one concern, for example, that we have with this COVID payment cut, I'm unsure how now that will affect seasonal workers. You know, if January and February has been taken as the reference point for people's income levels, well, that totally ignores those that work in hospitality and tourism sectors that have been very badly hit by this crisis. It totally misrepresents their income expectations and the work cycle that those workers have year in and year out. And I think it's unfair to punish those workers in a way that would mean that they wouldn't be in receipt of €350, but much less than that. I've no doubt that anomalies in this scheme will emerge again. I personally, and we believe that the schemes, the supports, will need to be in place until the end of the year. And then, of course, the anomalies, the obvious anomalies that had emerged around the oft-quoted student who happened to be working a couple of hours a week in a bar and now is living the good life on €350. They're few and far between. But that anomaly, by all means, deal with it. I think as a blanket measure, I think it's going to be problematic for lots of people. Okay. It's a big drop there, in people's income.
There we must leave it for this evening. Mary Lou MacDonald, Professor Sam McConkie, thank you both very much. We're